Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. A lot to get to as we take you up to 3 o'clock. Busy, busy weekend around the Beltway. Nats baseball on tap for you coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. We finally have a day, still no time, for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Caps and Hurricanes get ready to lock horns. And once I realized that this was the second round matchup that we had on tap, I realized immediately that, you know what? This thing is probably going to be uber physical. This thing is probably going to be uber chippy. And odds are there are probably going to be some ejections. Well, you know what? I'll pump the brakes on that. Because in terms of hockey culture, I've learned a lot about hockey culture over this season as the Caps have, you know, won the President's Cup trophy, best record in all of the NHL. With Ovi being on this goal-scoring chase, you're starting to see some of the quote-unquote best practices of the NHL. I think I said this last week. I'll reiterate it here again. For a sport in hockey that is so physical, that is so nasty and grimy, they sure do show a hell of a lot of sportsmanship. That's the one thing I will say. For all of the chippiness, for all the fights, for all the people that get banged off the boards, I think the sportsmanship in the NHL is top tier, and I think we had numerous examples of that as Ovi was on this goal-scoring chase. Now that that goal-scoring chase is in the rearview mirror, now that the Caps have seemingly gotten healthy here and looked damn good in this opening round series against Montreal, does it feel like, as Caps fans out there, you can chime in with us at 1-800-636-1067, does it feel like the train, the proverbial train, does it feel like it's back on the track, so to speak? Does it feel like the proverbial Caps train is back on track? We know how they finished the regular season. I had major doubts, major reservations going into that opening round series because of simply how bad they looked to end the regular season. Now, they've gotten healthy. Logan Thompson in net has been absolutely brilliant, proving why he's one of the best netminders in all the NHL. The physicality, I think, has stood out a lot. And then the other thing is this. I keep referencing physicality. If you're out there and you're dartying, first of all, I haven't dartied in a long time, by the way. I'm never going to turn down a good darty. If you're out there dartying this afternoon and you hear me say physical, toss one back for your boy. It'll be a very interesting next couple of 3 hours for you, if that's how that goes. Because the physicality, there we go again, in that opening round series between Washington and Montreal, I think set the tone. There's a difference in this Caps team and then the one that won the entire thing in 2018. The big difference to me is this. This group can score at will. We have seen them explode for 3 and 4 goals in a period numerous times throughout this regular season. Their offense was the best in all of hockey throughout the regular season. And for that reason, I think this group despite this being the first time that they've advanced out of round one since 2018, I think this group has all of the makings of a Stanley Cup champion. And I know that gets people revved up. I hope that gets people excited.
I am revved.
You should be revved. You should be excited. It feels like, and I guess this is the byproduct of this being a football town, it feels like because the regular season and the postseason stretched on so long for the Commanders that we kind of forgot about the Capitals, right? During the months of December.
895, my man.
895, but no one was, 895 wasn't even a thought when we were in January, looking at the NFC Championship game. Until the Commanders season ended, no one really gave a hoot about the Washington Capitals. That's okay. That's what happens. Football rules everything. The NFL is a dirty, dirty world. But I think if you look at what this group has done, specifically during the second half of the season, and I understand we're going to omit that final 2-3 week stretch where they weren't defending anyone, and they were giving up goals out of the wazoo, and everyone was trying to feed the great eight Alex Ovechkin. I'll give them that and put that on the back burner. The way they came out and handled business, taking care of Montreal in five, that's what it's about. That is the makeup, the DNA of a championship team. Not playing with your food, so to speak. Montreal was on deck. We got Montreal the hell up on out of here. That's what I love about this group. They handle business, and they love each other. And it feels like off of that Commander season where we talked about culture and how much guys liked each other, when I first heard those comments about this Capitals team, I went, psh, we're just having a Commander's hangover here. Is that what's going on here? Do these guys really love each other? They do. They do. I haven't gotten the chance to go in that Capitals locker room this year because I don't attend many hockey games at Capital One Arena. But everything you hear from everybody that you talk to is they are in unison. They are in sync. And I think you see that, or you've seen that rather, throughout the course of the regular season. And then here in the postseason, in the playoffs, the other guys, quote-unquote, stepping up. Brandon Duhamel, doggy, lighting the lamp in the closeout game the other night. A dude and a cat that, if I'm being honest with you, before this year, I knew nothing about. So I think this group, from the top defenseman to the last forward, these guys love each other, man. It's a tight-knit group, and it feels like, to me, when you have that mix of dudes that want to play hard for each other, dudes that actually enjoy coming to work, when you have that mix of people, I mean, you're hell on wheels, man. Look at Washington. The Commanders. I keep saying it, man. Look at the Commanders last year. Completely outkicked their coverage from a talent standpoint. They were able to, credit to this coaching staff, credit to this front office for, you know, fostering that sort of environment in Ashburn to where you got the absolute best out of every last member of that roster. Guys from Alameda Zacchaeus to Nick Allegretti, guys that were not household names, were able to step up and play some of the best ball of their career because of the environment that was fostered in Ashburn with the Washington Commanders. I think the same thing can be said about these Capitals. I think the exact same thing can be said about this Capitals team. And the beautiful part about it, some of the similarities here between the Caps and the Commanders, the two best teams in town. Isn't that something? And I mean that when I say that. Two best teams in town. The similarities that they have, though, both have very instrumental veterans that are key to keeping everything together, so to speak. Right? Your Tom Wilsons, your Lars Ellers, your Alex Ovechkins, right? Like that to me, you know, your Logan Thompsons. They have veterans on this group. Nick Dowd. Guys that have been there before, guys that can lead the way for some of your youngins that will ultimately be, you know, the fellas that, you know, spearhead you into the next phase of what you're going to be as a hockey team. And I think we're seeing it right now. Anyone that was concerned or questioning how much longer we would see the great eight Alex Ovechkin, if this group is going to be able to be kept together and they're going to play this well, being a 50-plus win team, if I'm Alex Ovechkin, what the hell am I hanging up the skates for? I've got hardware to go get. And this is where things get interesting. Obviously, you know, Ovechkin breaks Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record during the regular season. An absolutely amazing feat, right? An absolutely amazing feat. The other thing is this, right? Breaks the record. But then when it comes to the postseason, Alex Ovechkin has kept up that same level of play. There hasn't been a drop-off when the physicality's picked up. There goes that physicality word one more time. But no, you all understand what I'm saying here. I think this is a really good group. This series coming up against Carolina, and as I mentioned to start the show, the NHL, I don't know what the hell's going on. They have not officially set the time for game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Caps and the Hurricanes. It's scheduled officially for Tuesday. The Washington Capitals have the best record in hockey. Put them in prime time. It's not that hard. It's not that hard of a decision to make, in my opinion. It's just not. Put them in prime time. Let these two teams that, quite frankly, during the regular season, didn't like each other, let them duke it out. Let them duke it out. It's going to be absolutely bedlam. Absolute bedlam to watch this thing go down. Especially when you consider the way that game went on, what was it, April the 2nd? When Connor McMichael gets slammed to the ice, things get a little chippy. I expect that moment to be on the front of the Washington Capitals' mind as they get geared up for the second round series against the Carolina Hurricanes. Washington, during the regular season, split the four-game series at two apiece between themselves and Carolina. So I expect this thing to be super chippy. I expect the physicality to be at an all-time high. The key to this one, I would say, is this. These are two very evenly matched teams. We talk about the Caps and how well they can score. I think Carolina can score with the best of them as well. There goes that word again. Pick up your drink if you got one. The more physical team is ultimately going to win this series. So I'm not giving away state secrets. I can't wait to continue to preview this series and give you all the analysis as this thing plays out. Tuesday, though, game one from Capital One Arena. Capitals and Hurricanes, game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. You can hear all the action right here on the Washington Capitals Radio Network. John Walton, Ken Sabourin, two of the absolute best when it comes to talking all things puck. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 3 o'clock right here on 106.7 The Fan and our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will get to the story that absolutely dominated the headlines this past week. Is there enough support from council members for RFK 2.0 to be a real thing? We'll give you the deets on that next. This is The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Just getting rolling here on this Saturday afternoon as we take you around the DMV. Tapped into the youngest in Charles Linnell Willingham. Take you up to 3 p.m. Eastern time right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. Me and you, all the way up until 3 o'clock. A lot to get to. Opening segment of the show. Nice little preview of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Caps and Hurricanes get ready to face off coming up on Tuesday. Still awaiting the start time for that one. We will get it to you as soon as it becomes available to us. I mentioned, though, we have Nats baseball on tap here this afternoon. Nats and Reds set the lock horns from Cincinnati. It is a 6:40 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets going right here on The Fan at 6:10. So make sure you keep it locked. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will get you warmed up for that one. Speaking of Nats baseball, the new stadium that the Nats are playing in, the current stadium, rather, that the Nats are playing in, really did a number on the Navy Yard area. That's where our Half Street Studios are located, right here in the heart of Navy Yard in downtown D.C. And being a Maryland guy, I'll be open, honest, and transparent with you. I'm not all the way sure how this area looked before the Nationals stadium was there.
I can tell you.
I'm sure. I know that you can. I am.
We're sitting on top of what used to be Club Nation back in the day, the Capitol Ballroom, man. Quite notorious. Quite notorious for the rave scene that used to be here, to the point where the U.S. military actually banned people that were off duty from coming to the club because it was so known for all the drugs and stuff going on there.
Well, there we go. So you're basically saying it's a lot better of an area now.
Than
what it was before.
I mean, this used to be a place where you have to pay people to watch your car whenever you parked around here, you know, and like that kind of stuff. And now it's like, it's expensive. You can't even just, you know, it's not cheap to live here even, you know.
For sure. The bigger point is the baseball arena, the baseball stadium did a number on the economy here, did a number on this area in general.
Made it a place worth coming to.
And I think the difference as we have stadium discourse and dialogue, y'all know how I feel about this. I don't care either way where the stadium is. I've long said if they were going to go back to the old RFK Stadium, then I thought it would be more than responsible for Josh Harris and his 21 limited partners to foot a majority of the bill. Now, when I said majority of the bill, I was thinking, you know, your normal majority numbers, a 60-40 split. At this current juncture, the current offer that is on the table for D.C., for the Washington Commanders, puts that 60-40 split that I was crying for, puts that in a pipe and smokes it. Right now, the current split is 76% of it being paid by the Commanders, 24% of it being paid by the District of Columbia. And the actual numbers here that Washington, the Commanders, are going to be giving out, somewhere north of $2.7 billion. It will be the largest, you know, private investment in D.C. history. You want to talk about, and this is where I get worked up about this, because you all don't like to give me credit where credit is due. I was the only guy in this market that had the stones to say, you know what? If Josh Harris and company are so hell-bent on getting the team back to D.C., put your money where your mouth is. This is much bigger than football. As I continue to say, this is so much bigger than football. Josh Harris, a Bethesda native, a guy that's been to RFK, a guy that understands the economic issues that face this area, that face this region. Wouldn't it be a little bit irresponsible to ask D.C., if you really care about this area, wouldn't it be a little irresponsible to ask D.C. to fork over a boatload of money for this stadium? It would be. And Josh Harris, to his credit, him and his 21 limited partners, they are going to etch their names in history forever. Long after Jayden Daniels throws his final touchdown pass, long after Terry McLaurin catches his final, you know, pass, Josh Harris and company are going to be remembered. Because here's the difference between what happened at Navy Yard with Nats Park and what's going to happen at the new RFK site. Here's the difference. DC paid for that baseball stadium out of pocket, all of its own money. Nothing came from the Lerner family. So we now understand why folks here locally don't have a lot of patience with the Lerner family. But the difference at the new RFK site, majority of that's going to be paid by the Washington Commanders. And I think the beautiful part about all of this, when we talk about legacy and how you'll be remembered here, that stadium to me has the opportunity to completely revitalize the DC area in terms of what it will bring from a revenue standpoint, from an attention dollar standpoint. All of that matters. Here's the thing that I was kind of up in arms about when this was first brought to the forefront close to a year ago. My thought was, well, man, there is no guarantee. And this is the perspective of the DC residents, right? I'm a Marylander, so it's hard for me to speak on it. But it's very difficult to see the shortcomings of this area and think, you know what? Why don't we invest taxpayer money into a football stadium, something where there's no guarantee that you get a return on your investment? That still remains true. That still remains true. But this is the interesting thing. That money was going to get invested one way or another. The largest possible return for the district is if that money is invested into a football stadium. And I got to stop shortchanging it. I apologize that I keep doing that, Josh Harris and company. I ain't trying to play with your top. I understand what you're trying to do here. This is way, way more than just a football stadium. Repeat after me. We can put it on a t-shirt, right? A sports and entertainment Taj Mahal. That is what they are trying to create at RFK 2.0. And the fact that Josh Harris was willing to come out and fork over close to $3 billion into this project, he is the man. And he deserves all the flowers, all the kudos that he could possibly get. You name me an owner in professional sports that has had a better 18-month stretch on the job than Josh Harris. Name me one. I'll dap you up. Please do. You can't. You simply can't at this point. So this is where things get interesting to me. We have the current numbers, right? That $2.7 billion investment, that proposal, would be the single largest private investment in DC history. And the development of this RFK site, like I continue to say, more than just a new stadium, it is going to be a sports and entertainment Taj Mahal. 5,000 to 6,000 new homes, retail renovations, bars, restaurants, 54 acres of green space. All that stuff matters. All that stuff is cha-ching, moneymakers. So I think that's tremendous. What they're trying to do, the idea of it is brilliant. The execution is now what I wait on. Because, see, it's great to say that you're, you know, pushing in 5,000 to 6,000 new homes. Will those homes be affordable to those folks like myself? I know what all of you smart Alex out there are thinking. You're a sports radio host. Don't you make wazoos? Don't you make plenty of money? No, I'm broke. I would love to live in D.C. I can't. You think I want to commute an hour and a half to work every day? You think I want to spend 3 hours on the Beltway with you idiotic drivers of the DMV? Hell no.
You didn't seem to like the Rock Creek Parkway last week either.
No,
though.
I did not. Rock Creek, I can't even say
that
it right.
That is a D.C. thing, though, man. You got to know the Rock Creek. Anyway, they did say they would put some affordable housing in. How much and what percentage,
Chris,
and whatever.
We've done this before.
So, you know.
We've done this before. This is what these sneaky-ass politicians do. This is what these rich billionaires do. Affordable housing. Affordable housing, my ass. This is supposed to be. There's affordable housing.
No, there's
where
a
we're
legal
at.
Definition in D.C. for what constitutes affordable
housing. There is
housing,
affordable housing right where we are. Do you realize the average cost of an apartment in that building for a one-bedroom.
Those are luxury apartments.
It's close to $3,200. Guess what?
Those are luxury apartments.
Listen, though, because this is how they spin you. This is how they finesse you. This is how they pull wool over our eyes, as we are just dumb residents. Some of you aren't dumb. I'm probably not smarter than a lot of you, so let me chill on that. But
speak for yourself, though.
But that's considered affordable housing. There are 30, let's just say, for example, there are 100 units in there. It is regulated by the government. It is regulated by the government that at least six of those are quote-unquote affordable. And you know what they do? You get a long-ass waiting list that you're on for 5 and 6 months.
Probably rent control,
having 100, 200, 300 people on a list for 5 damn apartments, and they call that affordable housing? Affordable housing, my ass. That's the one thing to me that needs to be fixed. And when we talk about, oh, it creates so many jobs. They said the same thing about Nats Park. Those jobs are seasonal. Seasonal, meaning when it's not baseball season, those folks don't get a paycheck. So when we're trying to defend the stadium and defend money being put into it, let's keep it real here. 100 emoji, right? Let's be honest and transparent about it. I'm all for the stadium coming back here, but the parameters around the deal have to make sense. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The new issue that exists right now is this. The Commanders and this initial proposal willing to fork out $2.7 billion, right? That would be D.C. and the taxpayers only having to foot 24% of the bill. That is the smallest public investment of any new stadium that has been created in the past decade. So that's brilliant. With all those numbers being true, D.C. done lost their damn mind if they think the Commanders should fork over even more money. There is current debate and talks about, well, the Commanders should be forking over a little bit more money. I don't think that's the case as well. Or excuse me, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that should be the case. The question I have is this. Knowing what the Commanders are already willing to invest, should they be open to a revised deal? 1-800-636-1067 is the number here on The Fan. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 3 o'clock right here on The Fan. Nats baseball comes your way later on this evening, so make sure you keep it live and local all afternoon long. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for Nats and Reds. It is a 6:40 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets going at 6:10 right here on The Fan. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 3 o'clock. We're on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. We're also live and free on the Odyssey app as well. So plenty of different ways to get at us here. You can tweet at me. It is at NELL_BTP. Right now, what's on tap is the big story that was from this week. A lot of momentum right now towards RFK 2.0 being a legitimate thing that, in my opinion, will clearly help revitalize the DMV area. I am... you know, fully aware of what Nats Park was able to do for this area. I'm fully aware of what RFK could potentially do for this area. My complaint, my gripe has long been, if the team's going to come back to RFK, I just hope that the residents of D.C. are not asked to foot a majority of this bill, and they're not being asked to do that. I think it's absolutely amazing. The current proposal is $2.7 billion being forked out by the Washington Commanders. That's the current proposal. That would be 24% coming from the district. That is the largest public investment in DC's history. So the old adage is put your money where your mouth is. Josh Harris and company have done just that. So because they've shown the foresight in this situation to go, you know what? You want something done, do it yourself. Because they have shown that, the Mendelsohn clips. Because they've done that and came out and said, you know what, I'm willing to give up $2.7 million. The issue that kind of frustrates me is this. It's the Phil Mendelsohn of the world, it's the Charles Allens of the world, it feels like, based off of what I am understanding, these council members are not all on board for the cost of this RFK Revitalization Act, that project. All the council members aren't on board with it. Beautiful thing about us here at 106.7, the Fan of the Team 980, consistently bringing you some of the best, most plugged in people when it comes to these situations. Right now, we want to let you hear from Phil Mendelson, D.C. council member, who had this to say on if council supports this deal.
You said you don't think there are the votes. Can you expound upon that? Are you pretty confident right now that they don't have seven people that would support this?
Well, you know, the problem with my answering a yes is that sounds a bit confrontative. And I don't wish to be confrontative at this point. But I think that if this was before the council today, they would not vote for it, in part because we don't know enough, but in part because they would see the price tag too high, and in part because we have not seen what the mayor is proposing with the budget and the cuts that we know they're going to be in the budget. You know, let me just say on that, the mayor's budget was due on April 2nd. We will, if we're lucky, get it the middle of May. That's 7 weeks late. And we expect that there's going to be close to $1 billion in program cuts in what she sends to us. What is she cutting, and where is she getting the money for the stadium? And I think with those unknowns, it's hard to say that she would have support right now.
That's Phil Mendelson.
One thing I'm curious.
These things
ahead,
get worked out.
Let's fade that out. That's Phil Mendelson, D.C. council member. Clearly, and it feels like ever since this thing has been a possibility and a reality, Mendelson's the guy that's kind of been pushing back, but Phil Mendelson speaks for others or other council members as well. Anybody that has questions about where the money's coming from and, you know, are you guaranteed a return on your investment? See, what I don't want us to do is dunk on those people. Because guess what? There are real questions that exist. It's not like they're plopping a Chipotle at RFK. They're building a multi-billion dollar facility. And as a result of that, the taxpayers of D.C. are going to have to fork over some stuff. There are going to be sacrifices that are made. Things are going to be cut. So I agree with Phil Mendelson. You're damn right. I'm not voting on something when I don't have all the details on it. Why would I do that? Why would I pass this bill through? Why would I approve this budget if we haven't been made privy to what's being cut, how exactly the money's being used? That's why this 2030 date to me is so lofty and so out there. We're still a ways away, in my opinion, from this being a real thing. My question is this. You heard Phil Mendelson talking about the money. The Commanders are forking over $2.7 billion. It is the best stadium deal that any municipality has gotten over the past decade plus. In D.C., D.C. feels that they're not getting enough? Can't be greedy. 1-800-636-1067. Is D.C. in the wrong? Is D.C. in the wrong for wanting a revised deal where the Commanders fork out even more money? James is in Clinton. What's going on, James?
Hey, Luno. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
I totally agree with you. Being an outsider, a Marylander like yourself, uh-huh, always coming down into the city for events and things, they can't expect more from the Harris Group to fork out. I think that's ridiculous. On the other side, they should know the details of where the money's being pulled from and things like that. I hope they can push everything through. I think it's great for D.C. and the residents and everybody's stoked. I would like to see, even though they're doing a sportsplex, mm-hmm, and they had a few things that they might have mentioned, I would like to see them do maybe a large community center or something to really bring the youth in.
So I think Mayor Bowser said that was a lot of trouble. I think Mayor Bowser said that was a part of the plan as well, James. You keep going, brother.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I missed that. But yeah, that's what I was concerned about. Something like that. And it's just like you said, affordable housing. They say affordable housing. We saw what they did around the National Park area and things like that.
And James, I don't know how old you
are. Making 150 plus.
Right. James, I don't know how old you are, but I'm a I'm a 27-year-old who's been in my I've been living on my own in my own apartment for the last two and a half, three years going on. I tried to find affordable housing in Montgomery County, which we know is one of the richest counties in America.
Yeah.
The affordable housing crisis that currently exists in the United States, now that I'm actually like going through it and trying to find affordable housing my damn self, it's embarrassing. People should not have to worry about whether or not they're going to have enough money to support themselves. That's my
hope. Never comes down.
Yeah, for sure. James, I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Is D.C. in the wrong if they go to the table asking for a revised deal for RFK 2.0? The Commanders already forking over $2.7 billion, the single largest private investment in D.C. history. Is Mayor Bowser and company, are they being greedy, or do they have a point saying that the Commanders should be forking over even more money? We'll continue to dish on that, plus take your calls next here on The Fan. one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL underscore BTP. Tapped into the youngest in charge on a Saturday afternoon as we drive here on the DMV. I'll take you up to 3 p.m. Keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long. Nats and Reds coming up a little bit later on. 6:10 pregame coverage, 6:40 first pitch. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call for you right here on the Washington Nationals radio network. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll switch gears a little bit, talk about the burgundy and gold. NFL.com released power rankings, and we'll chew on whether the Commanders are too low or whether or not they're too high. Right now, though, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067, the current proposal that is on the table would be the single largest private investment in D.C. history to develop the old RFK site. New homes, retail opportunities, bars, restaurants, you name it. I keep shortchanging it, calling it a stadium. There's a sports and entertainment Taj Mahal that Josh Harris and company are trying to break ground on at the old RFK site. It seems like, though, despite this generous offer from the Commanders, it seems like there are still council members out there that feel like,
they need their back scratched a little.
Maybe it's not enough money being given out. Maybe it's not enough money being given out. D.C. Councilmember Charles Allen, Metal Chris, if you got that ready, joined Grant and Danny. And I'll be real, Chris, I don't know if you were working on the show that day, if you were listening at all, riding around in your car. This Charles Allen is...
I actually talked to him in person a couple of weeks ago, not about the stadium deal. He's actually involved with another deal in D.C. right now where they're trying to stop scalping of tickets in the district.
Explain that to me.
With like things like SeatGeek and...
trying to kill the secondary market?
Well, not kill it, but try to stop... They're trying to put a cap on how much more you can charge for a ticket. So that way you can't buy like 100 tickets and then just sell them all at overprice.
And then get your
They want to make it so like you can basically sell them for 10% over what you bought them for, and that's it. And like they want to make that... But he's actually one of the spearheads of that. So I actually talked to him about that because of the music stuff a few weeks ago. A big press conference he did. But anyway, I do know the guy. He's actually pretty cool. He's pretty down to earth, and he took his time to talk to me. I thought that was cool. So,
well, he's got to. I think that's what every politician should do. The ticket scalping
should thing.
Yeah, keyword right.
Yeah. Should. So the thing about that ticket scalping deal, though, it will not apply to sports
because it shouldn't. I actually think I don't.
It's for concerts. He's at concerts, theater. So, like, you know, if you go to see a play or something, like, pretty much, like, he's at monster truck rallies, anything but sports, basically. So,
I don't think you should be able to stop somebody's hustle, man. That's all. Ain't nobody getting hurt by the tickets being resold. It's just helping people make a little extra change. I don't see the problem with it.
Well, if it makes, see, this is why the venues don't like it. And again, there's two sides, so like, whatever. But the venues don't like it because it often makes a show appears sold out that isn't, so less people go to the venue, and then that's where they make their money is off the drink sales and all that other stuff going on there. Yeah. And so people aren't going because the ticket is now triple the price, and then so someone has bought the tickets, they still make the ticket sale, but they don't make all the concession sales and stuff, and that's what they're getting upset about.
Cry me a river. Charles Allen, D.C. council member, was very open, honest, and transparent, saying that council simply doesn't support this $2.7 billion investment coming from the Commanders?
With many of my colleagues, I've shared this with the chairman as well. I think he shared it with you yesterday. A majority of the council does not support this proposal as is. It's too much of on the public taxpayer dollar right now. I believe I have several colleagues, though, and I think all of us should be going into this process to try to get to a better deal, try to think through what could this look like. I think that there is certainly room to see changes to the deal that might garner the full support of the council. But as of right now, that majority is not there.
What more needs to be done in the deal is my thing. They're already giving you $2.7 billion damn dollars. It's the largest public investment in the city's history. And these council members are turning their nose up at it. You look at some of the stadium deals that have been done across the country over the past several years, and you compare that public money that's being given out to the public money that's being asked for by the Commanders, it's peanuts. It's absolutely peanuts. Right now, that 2030 number is where we keep talking about. Commanders asked to fork over 24%. Tennessee's got a stadium coming in 2027, 60% of it being paid by the public. Jacksonville has one coming in 2027, 50% paid by the public. Buffalo's got one in 2026, 49% built and given over by the public. The Saints in 2024, 67% of that was paid for by New Orleans residents. In Vegas with the Raiders, their new stadium, 37%. The Commanders got a deal so damn sweet that they don't know what to do with it. Is Mayor, I don't even want to say Mayor Bowser because I know she's on board. Are the D.C. council members tripping, asking for more money here in this deal? Chris, if you can, grab the name for line number one. Paul is in Centerville. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I'm 100% with you on this. If the council doesn't figure out how to make this happen, it's the biggest bag fumble in the history of the city. Now, let me just throw a couple more numbers out there for you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's a matter of public record. You can go and look it up. Since 2019, the Washington, D.C. General operating expenditure has been over $100 billion year to year. If you just add up the fiscal years, what they've been spending, right? Last year was almost $20 billion, okay? So we're talking about $1 billion. Now, to the working class Joe like me and you, it sounds like an astronomical amount, and it is. It's not nothing. But in the grand scheme of expenditures over time for a government, it's not that much. They have not solved the crime, the homelessness, the affordable housing with $100 billion over the last 6 years. $1 billion to seed a one-time expenditure of $1 billion to completely redevelop and revitalize a dead part of the city that could be an ongoing revenue-generating spot for them. It's a phenomenal deal. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not actually that much money when you're talking about government spending. So I'm with you. They got to figure out how to get this done, or I don't know what to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, I appreciate you as always, Paul. Have a good weekend, my man. I love the way Paul put it. Paul, I'm be stealing your phrase the rest of the time I talk about this. It'd be the biggest bag fumble in the city's history. They're giving you money. They're pretty much giving you money. Here's the other thing, right? Yes, the city is forking over 24% of the bill, but you know how quickly you can see a return on your investment with that? I think with the stadium, because of how little they're being asked to fork over in the grand scheme of things, I think you would see a much quicker return on your investment here.
I think some of these guys, and I don't know, I'm not going to name any of them, but I think sometimes with this stuff, they see a giant pile of money. And they're a lot of these guys representing different districts in this city, and they're like, well, listen, if they're putting this, they got $3 billion whatever.
Where's my money at?
Over there. Well, I got some new parks I'd like put in my area too, and then all of a sudden they might be a lot more for this deal, you know. So that's how politics works. You got to grease those wheels sometimes, and that might just be all they're looking for, man. Just I don't think that they really want to put a serious opposition up.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of them just kind of got their hands out. You know what I mean? They're like, I'll vote for it, but what are we getting from my people, you know? So
that's so sad, honestly, bro.
That's how politics works, man. That's how it always works. The city level and the national level, whatever. It's just, you know. You want to get people to vote for you, you got to give them a reason to support you.
I love the way you put it. You know, kind
of
just.
We're in D.C., man. It's the city of politics. It's just you gotta grease those palms sometimes, yeah. Man. Get them, get them voting for you.
Yep, it kind of just is what it is. Charlie's in Woodbridge. What's going on, Charlie?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm a real good. I've been a real estate investor in Washington, D.C. for 15 years, and I can tell you three reasons why this deal is never going to happen. And this is sort of a wake-up call to the DMV on what's really going on in Washington, D.C. Number one, the crime is rampant, and what's happened is all the real estate prices, residential real estate prices, have come down 20 to 25% in Ward 7 and Ward 8, Northwest Side, George Avenue, Petworth. All these real estate prices are coming down. What that means is that the income in Washington, D.C. for property taxes is way down. Number two, the budget shortfall right now is $1 billion and counting. They haven't even assumed the lack of income on the property tax side. And the third reason, which nobody is factoring into this, is that these office buildings that are 25% occupied and 75% vacant are coming way down in prices because all these office buildings, especially on K Street, L Street, the lawyer corridor, the lobbyist corridor, they're all getting reevaluated. And that impacts property taxes being paid into the government on the income side. So the way this deal is written, it's never going to happen. And I know you guys think it's a lot of money, but Josh Harris is going to have to come up with a lot more money for this deal to happen.
But dude, how can you say that? How he's forking over $2.7 billion. How much more is he supposed to do? Pay for the whole thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because Washington, D.C. is going to have to pay at least $1 billion for this. And the other thing, which is really, really impossible to do in Washington, D.C., is to get a normal development done. It takes so long for developers to develop these kinds of things. This is a 5 to 10 year project. The stadium might be 3 or 4 years, but the surrounding development is at least 10 years away.
And that's important.
And so you're not going to see the income. Yeah.
Yes,
you're not going to see the income from this for at least 10 years.
So, Charlie, I think you make a good point with that. The stadium can be built, but the real moneymaker isn't just the 9 home dates that'll be there. It's the other things. It's the concerts. It's the surrounding areas. It's the tourists coming in. They want to come see Beyonce. I get it, Charlie. Your insight, greatly appreciated, my friend. I hope you enjoy your weekend, brother. 1-800-
Thanks for taking my call,
yes,
guys.
Sir. Yes, sir. 1-800-636-1067. We just heard from a real estate developer, D.C., over the past 15 years who thinks that there is no chance that this deal gets done. He even agrees that the Commander should be forking over even more than $2.7 billion, the largest private investment in D.C. history. Are the council members being greedy or are the Commanders being cheap? Your call's on that next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.